Morning. God, giving God praise for you. There is a word from the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, search me. Remove anything. Do what you do best. And that's move things around. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the year of 1988, Milton Brunson and the Thompson Community Singers gave the church a song that we continue to sing until it wore grooves into the floor. It's a simple song. It is a surrender song. The lyrics go, Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say my storage is empty and I am available to you. But beloved, we sing this song with our eyes closed. Sometimes we sing this song with our hands lifted up in prayer. We sing this song until tears come running down our face. But beloved, I've come to learn something about that little old song. I've come to realize that it's easy to sing about availability, but it's a whole other thing to be available. Because available means God gets to pick the assignment. Being available means God gets to pick the place. Being available means God gets to pick the person. And if you are honest this morning, most of you do not really want to be available. You want to be consulted. You want God to run the assignment past you first. And if you like the location and if you like the timing and if there is a crowd waiting for you when you get there, then you will say yes. But beloved, I've come to tell you that God does not always save folks in a crowd. God sometimes will save folks by sending somebody who is willing to leave where the crowd is and go sit down beside the one. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, how to be available for the Lord. Our text is coming from Acts, the 8th chapter, the 26th verse through the 39th verse. Now, before we get into this content, I believe you need a little bit of context first. In the book of Acts, the good news, the gospel of Jesus is spreading so fast in Jerusalem that the 12 apostles couldn't keep up with the ministry. So in order to combat that, they chose 7 men full of wisdom and of the Holy Spirit to help serve the tables. And one of the men who they chose is a man named Philip. Let the church say Philip. Yeah. God had him waiting tables as a deacon before he had him leading a foreign official to Christ. But not only was the good news being spread at a rapid pace, but it is also growing so fast that it caused persecution after Stephen was stoned to death by preaching a sermon so good that convicted the Sanhedrin council. His martyrdom, his death caused the rest of the deacons to scatter out in of the city. But as they ran for their lives, they continued to preach the gospel along their various routes, which also further shows us that persecution did not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. It just helped spread the sparks. So here we are on this third Sunday in the month of July. After the stoning, during the persecution, we are reintroduced to Deacon Philip. Deacon Philip has fled to this city called Samaria, a place that was too foreign to be family, but too close to be called strangers. A Jew would not so much walk through their town. So Philip, a table servant, a deacon, did not just have to leave what was familiar. He found himself in a foreign city he would not even want to go to. But the beauty about the early part of the early church and in Acts chapter 8, we see that even though Philip was a stranger to those people, he still preached Jesus to them. And as a consequence, God broke out a revival in that city. Your Bible says in early part of chapter 8 that there was great joy in Samaria. All of that, a big revival happened, all due to persecution and scattering. But family, here's not what I don't want you to miss. Philip did not get comfortable in Samaria. He got sent to Samaria. The revival was not a reward for his suffering. It was the reason for it. So I'd like to park my car right here and raise a question we'll really suggest to us this morning, especially to Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. What if the uncomfortable place you are in right now is not a punishment, but it's an assignment? What if God did not move you to that job, to that school, to that state, to that neighborhood, or even that family just so you could survive it, but so somebody in it could finally hear about him? So I come all the way from Decatur, where it was greater, in the third ward of Houston, Texas, to let you know, stop asking God to get you out of your situation as an escape and start asking God who he sent you in there to reach. Because the only thing that ever kept us alive down through the years is not the fact that we brought our God to our situation, but it's so much so the fact that we told our situation about our God. So the first thing Philip teaches us while we look at Acts chapter 8, the 26th verse through the 39th verse, Philip shows us in order for us to be available for the Lord, we must first answer the Lord's call. Let the church say, answer the Lord's call. Now, why do you say that, Anthony? Well, I'm so glad I'm interning at a church that asks all the right questions. We see this in verse 26. The Bible says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. If you remember, Philip just saved plenty of souls in Samaria. It was a mass grand revival happening in Samaria. The paralyzed and the lame got up and they walked. Philip just preached probably the best sermon of his ministry. And after all of that, not even 20 verses later, an angel of the Lord tells Philip to go south to the desert road. How does a man leave a hot jumping ministry in Samaria for somewhere with no instruction or explanation? Because not only are you sending me further than the 40 miles it took to get there, but the road you are putting me on is a desolate road. It is an empty road. It is a lonely road. It doesn't make any sense. But if you keep reading your Bible right after verse 26, the Bible says, nevertheless, Philip started on his way. And church, that's the first word for somebody this morning, I believe, that in order for us to also answer the call of the Lord, you must listen and obey. No, not listen and understand, not listen and agree, but listen and obey, because God is going to ask you to leave some things that are working. He's going to send you away from the crowd further than you wanted to walk down a road that looks lonely, and he is not going to explain himself. And the only question that matters is the one Philip answered with his feet. Will you go anyway? Because every now and then, church, I've come to realize that our great God is going to call through the headset of life and call an audible. He's going to change up the play. And when you thought the plans got messed up, it was really a setup to see if he can trust you on top of the mountain in Samaria, then surely you wouldn't have a problem going down to the valley that is a desert road. Lord, save us from being grand and trying to be perfect Christians. Everything we do has to be big and grand. I only preach for the big churches because they give out those nice big checks at the end of my message. I only serve if I'm chairman of this and if I'm chairman of that. I only serve if I'm president of this and if I'm president of that. I only serve at the food pantry if they ask me, but I must first make sure it fits into my schedule. But let me help you out, boo-boo. The only thing that's keeping you off the road is that it's not grand enough for you. There's no crowd on the desert road. There's no title, no position while you are on the desert road. And family, I've come to realize that if you decide to be a disciple, the Lord will require you to go down some desert roads. And that's exactly where God sent Deacon Philip. Because when you walk with Christ, you have been charged to go see about the people nobody else will ever go see about. But can I push it some more, church? Can I push it some more, church? All right, all right. That when you answer the Lord's call, I've come to realize, Cameron, well, Reverend Jenkins, that sometimes you will have to go by yourself. I'm clearly and early in this message reminded of that song that says, I'll go if I have to go by myself. If my mother don't go, if my father don't go, if my sister don't go, nor my brother, say, Lord, I'll go if I have to go by myself. But the beauty in going by yourself is the fact that you may be by yourself, but you are never alone. Because when you are on that road, he talks with you on that road, and he walks with you on that road. You are never alone. The songwriter also says, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised. Promised never to leave me alone. The first point was, you must answer the Lord's call. Second point, in order for us to be available for the Lord, we must realize we have to act in obedience. Let the church say, act in obedience. Yeah, it's right there in your Bible. I'm kind of afraid to show you. It says in verse 29 through 30, the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. While Philip, y'all, is walking down this desolate road, inside of the chariot that he sees ahead of him is a Ethiopian eunuch. Let the church say Ethiopian eunuch. Yeah, he is a big man. He's a big ball of shot collar. He's an official over the entire treasury under this lady named Candace. Some people know her as Candace. She is the queen of all of Ethiopia. And y'all, he traveled several hundreds and hundreds of miles to worship in Jerusalem, only to discover that because of his position, because of his title as a eunuch, the law kept him from entering the assembly of the Lord. Imagine traveling all of those miles, all of those weeks, sometimes even months, to seek God, to seek the Lord's face, and still leaving hungry and confused because the law told you could not enter. But yet on his ride back home, he is still seen in the passage reading the scriptures of the prophet Isaiah. He is still searching. He is still trying to learn. He is still grabbing for knowledge. But little does he know, as he is reading confused, God has already sent the answer walking behind him while he's riding in this chariot. And while this man is reading, church, the Spirit then commands Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Get up to that chariot real close. But church, here's what blessed me. It wasn't the fact that this Ethiopian eunuch was reading. It wasn't the fact that Philip is in vicinity. What blessed me, if you have your Bible open, the Bible says Philip ran. It doesn't say he walked. It doesn't say he jogged. It doesn't say he skipped. The Bible says Philip ran. And I find it to be sure, church, that after walking all of those miles, He could have taken his own sweet time. He could have said, Lord, I'm going to walk up there and get there whenever I feel like it. But by Philip being a man full of wisdom and of the Holy Spirit, Philip did not become lazy. He mustered up some energy and he ran to his chariot. And let me park my car one more time and put a coin in a meter and come down your row. Because, beloved, some of us in the church house, not Good Hope, probably the church in the area, got Christianity all messed up. That in order for you to show that you are available, you must realize you have to trust and obey God. Yeah. You trust God that God will make a way whenever you feel like it. You trust that God will give you the right tools. But sometimes, y'all, it's hard for us to obey God's instructions on making a way, that when you answer the call of the Lord with a yes, you will be able to say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. You cannot have second thoughts when you must act in obedience, especially when God sends you down the desert road. You may be saying, well, beloved, I stay in the woodlands. I stay in Pearland. I stay in Sugarland. I stay in Katy. I stay in Cypress. I stay in Conroe. No matter where you live, there is a desert road on it. You could be living on the desert road. You could be working in the desert road. And God is calling you out of all the people in the world to go minister to it. But Philip also proves to us, church, that saving souls is going to require some pep in your step. Because when the Spirit says go, you do not have the luxury to take your time. Yeah, you don't become lazy and lax because this chariot is moving. And if Philip drags his feet, this chariot is gone. And that man rides all the way back home, still lost and confused. Beloved, can I tell you, souls do not wait on your schedule. So when God points you towards somebody, you must trust and obey, but you must also hurry. Lord, deliver us from being lazy, lackadaisical, and lackluster Christians. Because when you act in obedience to the Lord, what started out to you as an unclear mission is starting to reveal itself to be a clear assignment. And because since Philip was obedient to the voice of the Lord, Philip was able to assess what the eunuch was struggling with, because he took time to hear him out. And since he heard him out, in verse 30, he asked him a question. Do you understand what you are reading? In that moment, y'all, after this Ethiopian eunuch heard this question, he laid his position and his pride to the side, raised his problem up, and he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Some of your translations might say, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And this church, this part right here is causing a little bit of tension in the text, because look at who's talking. One man oversees a nation's treasury. The other waits tables as a deacon. One man rides a chariot. He has a horse and a bucket. He even has his own driver, but yet the other walks beside it. If I'm not mistaken, by the world's standards, Philip has nothing to offer to this Ethiopian eunuch. But yet Philip never checks the man's resume before opening his mouth. But it gets better, because once the eunuch lets Philip climb into his chariot, they got to reading the passage that the eunuch was struggling with. They got to reading that passage from Isaiah 53. And that passage confused the man, because he could not tell if the prophet was talking about himself or somebody else. But watch what Philip does in your Bible. Philip does not dismiss the man's scripture. He did not say, you are reading the wrong thing. He started where he was at the same scripture, and from Isaiah 53, he preached to him Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, once you have assessed the situation, once you have assessed the problem, Philip shows us that in order for people to understand how Christianity is, in order for you to make disciples, you got to get in the chariot with them. You cannot guide anybody from a distance. You don't have the right to lead someone from afar. You cannot lead someone from the sidewalk. You got to do what that rapper Raw 49 said. You got to get in with me. You got to take a little walk in their shoes. But not also does Philip show us that you have to get in the situation with them. You must start from where they are. And not where you wish they were. Y'all, some of y'all was quiet right there. I said, you got to start where they are and not where you wish they were. Y'all still missed it. I said, some of us think we got it all going on and we too big for people and we too small for people. You must understand, you got to start from where someone is and not from where you are and not from where you want them to be. I know you know your Bible from to back, but sometimes you got to start teaching young people how to read from Genesis and not take them all the way to Matthew. Sometimes, yeah, I know someone has been struggling with addiction, but you must start from where they are and get in the situation with them and take them where they should be able to go down through their timeline. You got to get in there with them and start from where they are and then push them along their journey. Don't you dare drag people on this journey that you think is best for them. You must answer the critical issue that they have, because once the question gets settled, they can start putting the pieces together for themselves. Told you that in order for us to be available for the Lord, you must answer the Lord's call. Told you that in order for you to be available for the Lord, you must act in obedience. Last and finally, I'm going back to Caterer Greater. Come to tell you, this last one for free, you must accomplish the assignment. Let this church say accomplish the assignment. Once we finish this, we can go on to French cheese, get some chicken together, all right? Accomplish the assignment. Say accomplish the assignment. So y'all, while Philip is preaching Jesus to this unnamed Ethiopian eunuch, watch what happens. It's in your Bible. The same power that caused a whole revival in Samaria, That same power that healed the paralyzed and healed the lame, that same power that caused souls to be saved, came down a desolate road toward Gaza and met the man in his chariot. That same power that people was persecuted for, that same power that got Stephen killed, that same power that was able to be spread all throughout Samaria and Judea, that same power that saved thousands and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, came all the way down a lonely road in Samaria and met a man in his chariot. And beloved, this shows us that no matter where you are, no matter who you are, the Spirit of the Lord will meet you wherever you are. I'll say it one more time until y'all can get it, that this shows us that no matter where you are, the Spirit of the Lord will meet you wherever you are. I'll say that one more time until the church gets it, that no matter where you are, no matter who you are, the Spirit of the Lord will meet you wherever you are. And somewhere in that conversation about the good news, Philip preached Jesus into this eunuch's soul so well that he too wanted to be available for the Lord. So as he is riding, y'all, your Bible says, as they are riding, as they are in this chariot, the eunuch's eyes land on some water. But he asks a question of his life: what is preventing me from being baptized? Church, let's pause right here for a moment. Remember, this is a
powerful man. He's a eunuch. He has money. He works for the Queen Kandake, aka Candace. He's second in command. He has a chariot. He's reading a scroll, something that is very expensive. But yet he raises a question: what is preventing me from being baptized? Because church, all of his life, something has stopped him consistently. Deuteronomy 23 said, a man in his condition could not enter the assembly of the Lord, meaning he has been stopped at the doors before for how he looked and for who he was. He had power, but even his power could not get him in the room. But now he sees some water laying beside a empty, desolate robe, and in his confusion, in his acknowledgement, he said, what is stopping me from being baptized? But your Bible shows us that Philip gives him the best answer of his life. Philip says, nothing prevents you from being baptized. The reason why nothing prevents him from being baptized, beloved, is because the same passage that he was struggling with to read has now liberated him. Y'all missed it up here. I said one more time for you in the white. The passage that he was struggling with to read has now liberated him. The reason why nothing prevents him from being baptized is because the same passage that he was struggling to read in the pink has now liberated him. Isaiah 53, I'm getting happy. Isaiah 53 says, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It got real quiet in this Presbyterian church. I said, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. If you still didn't get it yet, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the reason why nothing prevents him from being baptized is because the lamb has been slaughtered for his sake. Apparently I'm in the wrong church. So let me try to find my exit. I said he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before the shearers is silent, and he opened not his mouth. Meaning the lamb has been slaughtered for his sake. I see church folks still don't know when to shout, because apparently you don't know who the lamb is. One Friday, they led the lamb up a hill called Calvary, and they nailed the lamb to a tree. And when his blood came streaming down from his head to his feet, whatever Deuteronomy 23 said, whatever Deuteronomy 23 shut, Isaiah 53 opened it wide open. Because since the lamb was slain, the eunuch finally has his access to get saved. So he got down in that water and he got baptized. And your Bible says Philip was snatched away, but the eunuch didn't get upset about that. The eunuch ended up rejoicing the Lord all the way to Ethiopia. And since he got baptized, he brought the gospel all the way to Ethiopia. So wherever you are on a high mountain, or if you are down in a dark, lonely valley, I want you to tell the good news, because wherever the Lord sends you, you must remember what got you there. So if you just so happen to forget why you are there, if you just so happen to forget who brought you to that valley, I am reminded of an old TV show called The Beverly Hillbillies. privilege. If you don't mind, let me introduce you to a man named Jed, poor mountaineer, who barely kept his family fed. And then one day, he was shooting at some food, and all through the ground came a bumbling crude. Oil that is black gold and Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up his old truck. They loaded up his raggedy truck. And they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools and movie stars. Jed had a new house. Jed had a new mattress. Jed had some butlers. Jed had some swimming pools. Jed had some money in his pocket. But there's one thing Jed held on to. He held on to that little old truck that got them from Texas all the way to California. So beloved, you may be in a dark road right now. You may be in the desert road right now. But if you take Jesus with you, he will make sure you can communicate to a lost soul on how to be saved. Lord, I'm available to you. You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show them your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears so I can hear your voice so clear. I see the hearts of sinners so broken and despair. So many people need to be free. So Lord, I'm available, available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. My storage is empty. Use me, Lord. I'm available to you. If that didn't get you, say yes to your will. I'll say yes to your way. With my whole heart, I'll agree. With my heart, I will plead. And my answer will be yes. Lord, yes. Yes to your way. Yes to your will. Yes, I'll obey. No matter if I'm on top of the mountain, no matter if I'm down in the valley, I'ma go because you told me to go. But I'm so glad that we do not become available because he died. Yes, that's good. But I'm so glad we become available because he lived. He came through 42 burning generations. He came through a Virgin Mary. He was available. He saved souls. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. Because he too was available. Then one Friday, he died on the old rugged cross. Because he was available. But he didn't stay dead. He stayed in that grave. For Saturday, he stayed in that grave all day Saturday, but early Sunday morning, I'm from Georgia, I'm Baptist too, I can say it one time, early he showed us that he was still available. So if he can go, you can go. Some of y'all still looking at me like you're not finna go nowhere. I ask you to stand up on your feet and tell God, I'll go if you ask me to go. If the Lord needs somebody, I'll go. Through sickness, I'll go. Through pain, I'll go. Sunshine, I'll go. If I'm rich, got no money in my pocket, I'll go. Cause this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, the world can't take it away. So if when you give the best of your service, telling the world the Savior has come, be not dismayed. If men don't believe you, he'll understand. He'll understand. He'll understand. And say, well done.
on, come on, come on, clap your hands. Come on, clap your hands. All over this building, we're standing. Come on, all over this building, we're standing. Come on, give God's name a great praise. Come on, we're available to you, Lord, with our whole heart. We agree. Our answer is yes. Come on, we're standing all over the building. All over the building, we're standing. In the balcony, we're standing. On the floor, we're standing all over. If you can and will, thank you. What a word. What a word. How to be available for the Lord. A timely word in this season to serve. We need to become available to our God. Our QR code is on the screen. For our Hope Church family, those who want to come for salvation, prayer, or church membership, our leaders are alive.